As if you don't have enough to do, here comes May. And with it, the graduation, sports playoffs, and end-of-school events that keep you hopping. Hi, I'm Rob West. We all treasure these important life events and the memories they create. What we don't enjoy is the stress. Today, we'll talk about how to avoid buying into the busyness. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. We live in a noisy culture. We're bombarded with messages about how to live, what to think, and what to buy. May seems to be one of the noisiest times of the year, especially if you've got school-age youngsters. At this time of year, the pressure to fill up the schedule, buy the right stuff, and meet the expectations is very high. Here's the problem. In times of stress, we're tempted to take our eyes off the Lord and become entangled in worldly attitudes. We buy into the busyness and it becomes a way of life, not very peaceful. Colossians 2:8 warns against the futile thinking behind all this stress. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Much of the hollow thinking we fall for these days is just materialistic and self-serving. Here are a few examples of the lies we tell ourselves. The future will be secure if I accumulate a lot of possessions. My family will love me more if I buy more things and experiences for them. Everyone should get what they want. All I need is a positive attitude and everything will work out. Being busy is the best way to love my friends and family. The Bible calls these ideas hollow and deceptive because they're lies, glorifying material possessions and selfish desires. The end result of this worldview is just more chaos and less peace. So, how do we avoid being fooled by the world's noise? Well, we can focus on God's truth instead. Here are a few examples. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Abundant life, peace, hope, and a sure future are only found in Christ. Proverbs 23:5 says, "Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle." Possessions simply can't satisfy you. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, according to Psalm 31. Lasting success comes from serving the Lord, not chasing after personal fulfillment. And finally, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 offers lasting reassurance. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. When we listen to God's truth instead of the world's noise, we can put our priorities in order. We follow Christ first, allowing Him to fill us with His Holy Spirit so we can love and serve the people around us without stress. Jesus knows the pressures you face, whether they're a result of money issues, relationships, a busy schedule, or all of the above. Our Lord addressed the same issues with His disciples, who were fussing about everything from where to go to where their next meal would come from. The point Jesus makes with them and us is that we don't ever have to fuss and worry when we follow Him. Here's what He says at the end of Matthew 6. Listen to this. "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." When you find yourself overwhelmed, irritable, or depressed in the midst of the May madness, don't buy into the busyness. Pause a bit and get those priorities back in order. Talk to the Lord, read His Word, and remind yourself of what's true. In fact, we have a brand new study that we just released that I think may reset you on the promises and priorities that God would have for us. It's called Rich Toward God. You'll find it at our website. It's a 4-week study on the parable of the rich fool, where Jesus deals through this parable with some powerful themes of pride and prosperity and what it looks like to live rich toward God, the uncertainty of tomorrow, and even what true abundance is. Check it out today at faithfi.com. Just click shop at the top of the page. That's faithfi.com. Just click shop. All right, we're back with your questions after this. The number, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. You've seen the news, you've read the headlines. Every week, a whole new set of problems for this world. Wars with no end in sight, governments on the verge of collapse, politicians who can't agree on anything, irreconcilable differences at every level of society, and on top of all that, is the news even telling you the whole truth? What a contrast is the Word of God, full of truth, full of hope. Take Psalm 62. It calls us to find rest in God alone. Verses 11 and 12 give us reasons we can trust in Him. It says, "Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love." Unlimited power, unfailing love. Get more encouragement daily with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow Him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian credit counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian credit counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. I trust you had a great weekend, and perhaps now you're ready to dive into those questions you were thinking about over the weekend related to your finances. Well, we want to help with that, encourage you along the way, take you back to God's Word, help you understand a biblical worldview of money management, starting with the idea that God owns it all, and you're a steward, and now the goal is faithfulness. To whom much is given, much is required. And so faithfulness is about being faithful over a long period of time according to what God has entrusted to you. And we want to help you dive into those specific questions and concerns you have today, whether it's maybe related to your lifestyle, staying on budget, living within your means, which is really challenging now, or paying down debt. Maybe you've built up some credit card debt just because lifestyle spending has gotten away from you in light of inflation, and you want to know, how do I get rid of that debt? Maybe you want to give more intentionally and wisely. Perhaps you want to consider giving even beyond just cash flow out of your assets. Well, we can help with that. Or maybe it's thinking about your short-term or long-term savings. What about those changes in the I-bond rates? If you were an I-bond purchaser back when rates were a lot more attractive than they are today, or maybe it's just thinking about the volatility in the stock market. Whatever it might be today, we'd love to tackle it with you. The number to call today with your questions is 800 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. All right, let's dive in. Today we're going to begin with Jay. You'll be our first caller in Nevada. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Appreciate the taking my call. My question is, about 9 years ago, I put together a will, and in that to take care of my daughter and then also my mom, who we take care of. I bought a second home for mom to be in, and I put her on the mortgage in order to get finance for it. Since then, I've paid off that home. She was actually on the title, joint tenant in survivorship, mm-hmm. and I didn't realize that at the time. I might have messed that up. My question is, at this point, because she's in her mid to late 70s, would it be best for me to move to have her sign off like a quit claim deed and just be able to move that back to me? Or I have a trust that I could also put that home in. I just, my daughter's grown and she's no longer, and I'm adjusting the will. So I just want to make sure I'm making the right steps.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand here. So the home you actually purchased with your money, but you put your mom on the deed. Is that right?
Yes, she ended up being there, and I think I might have made a mistake on that.
Okay, so you, in a sense, made a gift to your mom of the value of the home because it was your money that went into the home, so you actually bought it, so that's your purchase. But as soon as you put her on the deed, now that was a gift to mom because this is now mom's asset, and so you essentially gifted her the amount equivalent to the value of that property when you purchased it. And so you may want to talk to your CPA about that because that would have involved you filling out a gift tax form, not because it would be taxable. You can gift up to $13 million over your lifetime, at least based on the 2024 rules and regs, and it doesn't become taxable to anyone. There is no inheritance tax, and there is no gift tax until you get above that amount. So that would be the first issue. And then if your mom then gifts that back to you in the form of a quitclaim deed or moves it into a trust that is your trust where you are the grantor and you're naming the beneficiaries, then that's going to be a gift from her back to you at that point. What is your ultimate outcome here? Who do you want to be the owner of this property?
Either, myself and my wife or the trust, just so that mom is taken care of, in case the Lord takes me home first. And then for my daughter to be able to receive, after we've gone to receive the rest of that. So,
yeah. Okay. So it sounds like the trust is the place for it to go because that way it's going to ensure that as long as the trust is written properly to both care for your mom in the event that you're gone, but also to care for and provide for your daughter once the three of you are gone, you and your wife and your mom, then all of that can be handled inside the trust. The trustee would be named depending on, it sounds like you have an adult daughter, so she may actually be the trustee, but ultimately, regardless of who the trustee is, it's going to be for your mom's benefit and then beyond your mom's life for your daughter's benefit or both. And so it sounds like just getting as many assets as possible into that trust to serve all of those purposes is the right approach. The only thing you're going to have to talk to your estate attorney about who drafted the trust and then your CPA about is whether or not there needs to be a recognition of the gift from you to your mom when you bought a property and put it in her name and then back to you when she gifts it back to you by way of your trust, just to acknowledge that those gifts occurred so you can, be, in good standing with regard to what actually transpired, even though that may have not have been your intention. And then I think from that point, you're good in the sense that the purpose of the trust is to make sure that the assets are handled the way you want before, if you're incapacitated, before your death, at your death or following your death, if you don't want it all distributed, you know, in full, and you want it kind of parsed out over time to provide income to your mom and or your daughter. So all of that should be in place. You just want to make sure that it's legally titled the way that it needs to, which it sounds like it's going to be need to be retitled, the property that is, in the name of the trust. And then you want to make sure you're in good standing with regard to how you've communicated all of that to the IRS.
Gotcha. Yeah, it sounds like I've missed the gift part. So if I gift over and it gifts back, there's no taxable event, but we've communicated exactly what we did, even though I messed it up, but it still works out to the correct outcome. It sounds like what I'm looking for.
I think that's right, because gift form, the tax form is 709, and it's going to just acknowledge that you've chipped away, even though it, you didn't intend it to be. And maybe the CPA knows where a way you can unwind it, since that wasn't the intention, and you're kind of reestablishing your ownership. But if not, then you would just chip away at your lifetime exemption of $13 million in gifting, and the same for your mom back to you.
Great. Rob, thanks for so much. Appreciate it. You have a blessed day.
All right. God bless you, Jay. We appreciate you being on the program. Well, folks, we're just getting cranked up here today. We're going to be taking your calls and questions on anything financial, helping to provide you with sound biblical wisdom as it relates to your financial concerns. So what are you thinking about today? The rest of the program is yours. We want to dive into the questions and considerations you have and help you apply God's truth. So call right now with your financial questions. The number is 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Our team is ready for you. We'll get you on the air quickly, and we'll be diving into those questions just around the corner after this break. Once again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Hey, before we head to this break, let me just mention, as we march toward the end of our fiscal year, that's right, here at FaithFi, as a listener-supported, not-for-profit ministry, we're on a fiscal year end that ends June the 30th. And so everything gets kind of shored up by June the 30th. And as you might imagine, as a listener-supported ministry, that's a pretty critical date for us to see folks step in and step up and say, I'm with you and I'm going to support the work. And we've got a goal between now and June 30, so about 60 days, of about $125,000 that we still have left to go to bring in. If you'd like to be a part of that, just head to our website, faithfi.com, and click give. That's faithfi.com. Click give. We'll be right back.
So I just joined 1 Million Moms.
But I
know I should have done it a few years ago when you sent your email about the trash in the media, but it just didn't seem to be worth it then.
So what
changed? Oh my goodness. Have you seen that preview? It's pornographic.
Media isn't going to get better until concerned consumers get involved. 1 Million Moms has been calling on us to do just that for 14 years, with many successes along the way. When you see something, say something at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. You can call right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. No waiting. Our team is ready for you. Call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll be taking your calls here in just a moment. By the way, in the news today, older Americans have serious concerns about future health care costs. That's the finding in a University of Michigan national poll on aging. One of the top six concerns about healthcare in the poll, of the top six concerns about healthcare in the poll, five of them had to do with medical costs. The other concern also dealt with money, notably financial scams and fraud. Of those surveyed for the poll, 56% of people over 50 said they're concerned about healthcare costs for the elderly. The same percentage were concerned about assisted living costs, while 53% of them worried about scams and fraud. The results show the importance of maintaining sufficient health insurance in later years and seriously considering long-term care insurance. Other surveys showed that 70% of Americans reaching age 65 will need long-term care at some point. That's very consistent with the data that we've seen and has been in place now for some time. Let's talk about both of those in the sense that, first of all, that long-term care need that exists to that point. Again, 70% of Americans reaching age 65 will need long-term care at some point. Now, that's typically only going to last that need and from maybe 18 months to 2 years up to a max of 4 years, just on average. But given the high cost of that type of care, which can run for full nursing care, $10,000 a month or more, it is probably the largest risk that exists today for someone in that season of life in terms of erosion of assets. And so how do you guard against that? Well, one way is just to save and live modestly and have the assets to fund it. Secondly, it is long-term care insurance. Now, increasingly, folks are saying, well, just not sure I can afford it, because even if I can afford it today, and let's say you're buying it in that ideal window between 55 and 65, well, it becomes really challenging as those already high premiums begin to increase over time. And, clearly those premiums do go up, and they go up in lockstep, if you will, with the rising cost of healthcare. And so we've seen premiums going up, 25, 50, even 60% plus from the original premium when somebody bought it. Well, that's problematic, because if it was already tight and you're buying that long-term care insurance, and now all of a sudden you've seen those dramatic price increases and you're wondering, how can I continue? That, it's only as good as your ability to continue to pay that premium ongoing. So what do you do about that? Well, I think that's where you can look to, number one, consider a reduction of benefits. You may need to get on the phone with the insurance company and look at the option of cutting back. Do you reduce your daily benefit? That's the amount that they'll pay per day for these type of expenses once you meet the requirements for them to begin paying out. Secondly, do you look at perhaps a longer waiting period where it doesn't kick in for a longer period of time, and so you're coming out of pocket until you hit that waiting period? By pushing that waiting period back, you're going to see a reduction potentially in premium. And so there are some things to consider with your long-term care insurance company to be able to get that premium in line with what you can continue and maintain. The other option is just to allow it to lapse, and a lot of times there will be an amount that's accrued in there that could be paid back to you, and perhaps you stick that in savings as a kind of a last resort. So certainly something to look at. I do think you ought to consider it, just given the high cost of healthcare during this season of life, because again, if something is going to perhaps erode your assets extensively in this particular season of life, it's probably going to be long-term care, and we want to make sure that you are properly covered. The folks that need it are generally those, and this is a big window, with assets between $200,000 and $2 million. If you've got more than $2 million, you're going to self-insure. If you've got less than a couple of $100,000, you're probably going to rely on Medicaid. You would spend down your assets when you get below that threshold, asset threshold of $2,000. Then that's when Medicaid kicks in, and that will provide long-term care. It may not be in the facility of your choice because you'd have to be in a Medicaid-approved facility, but nevertheless, you know, you will be able to get some level of care. But in that window, which is where the majority of people are, between $200,000 in assets, not income, but assets, and up to $2 million, that's really where looking at long-term care insurance, I think, can be very helpful. So just think through that and consider whether that's something that you may need to look at for yourself. The other specific concern that was identified in this particular survey has to do with financial scams and fraud. And, you know, this is particular, you know, of particular note with seniors, because there are so many senior scams out there right now that we just need to be aware of as you begin to, you know, think about not only if that's you, but perhaps, you know, somebody in your life that you need to be, you know, walking through this and just helping to navigate some of the top senior scams that are out there. And you know, a lot of these are going to come down to things that you've heard before. It's going to be, you know, where they're looking for phishing scams, whether that's over the phone, calling, pretending to be a grandchild that, you know, they're looking for, you know, payment for to help get out of incarceration or, you know, in a really bad spot. It's going to be things like phishing scams where they get a link in an email. It's going to be things like impersonation of government officials or claiming to offer financial assistance. They may claim to be, you know, with the IRS or with Social Security. So you've got to just be aware of what these are, and they change over time. But as you know what to be on the lookout for, or you can walk alongside an elderly family member and just help to point out what might be coming their way, this is really important. So just stay up to date on this, and then, you know, always use those best practices that we talk about regularly on this program as well. Not using public Wi-Fi to transact business, making sure you're not clicking links in emails or giving information over the phone, and certainly checking those credit reports regularly. All right, we're going to take some questions right after this break. Stay with us. Much more to come. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom?
Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got lines open. We're ready for your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go out to Texas. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for your call, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I'm just, before I started something, I wanted to make sure I was in the right. I'm hiring a young man during the summer to help me with my small agricultural operation that's been normally done just me and my wife and family, but it's a lot of work and I have the opportunity to get help. So when I pay this young man, do I 1099, do I report it, or do I have him self-report it, and just making sure I'm in the right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think the key here is you just need to keep good records of all payments to a hired hand. You'll want to check with your CPA, but you can probably just pay this person and typically would as a contractor. If you end up paying more than $600, which you will, you'll need to file what's called a 1099 NEC. That stands for non-employee compensation, and your CPA could help you with that too. I would also make sure you have adequate liability insurance in case this person is injured on your property or working for you off-site. But yeah, it's going to be a 1099 that you'll file. And as long as this person is 16 or older, you should be in good shape. And you need to check on things like the federal, the minimum wage and overtime hours if they work more than 40 hours in a week, that type of thing. And then you have to decide what kind of contract agreement you're going to have, if any. But generally speaking, with regard to the compensation, it's going to be the 1099.
Perfect. Thank you for answering the easiest question I think I've heard you answer yet.
No problem. Hey, listen, all the best to you. What's going on out there on that ranch, Daniel? What do you have?
Well, I've worked every day for 35 plus years, and I'm now just raising my own beef. I got my chickens and just a long list of honeydews, and it's kind of overwhelming, and I'm a little bit slower than I was, but do appreciate your ministry and your advice and all that you are part of.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and all the best to you. It sounds like a great operation out there, and probably a fabulous part-time job for a student over the summer months. So thanks for checking in with us. If we can help further down the road, let us know. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. If you have a financial question today, we'd love to tackle it with you. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. Hey, some emails. These come in regularly at askrob@faithfi.com. If you've got an emailed question, send it along. Again, askrob@faithfi.com. And we will be headed back to the phone here in a moment. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Paulette writes, I have two private student loans that total $70,000 and have interest rates of 9.5% and 10.5%. Would it be wise to try to get a lower interest personal loan or to refinance the existing loans? And yes, I mean, I think you ought to look at it. You're likely, just based on where rates are at right now, Paulette, not going to be in a position to see those overall rates come down, just given the rates that you say you have. I mean, the only time you would probably be looking at refinancing for a lower rate is if one of two of the things happen. Number one, you had an above market rate because you had poor credit, and you've been able over time to rectify that. You've seen your credit score rise, and therefore you're now able to secure a rate lower than you had at the time. That would be a time to consider. Or if rates have moved considerably lower, you know, so for instance, if we saw a 1.5% to 2% decline in the Fed funds rate, which drives all the other rates, student loan rates and mortgage rates, car loan rates, if we saw a decline of 1.5% to 2% that translated into a similar decline for student loan rates, that might be the time to say, okay, I might want to look at refinancing, if you will, these private student loans of $70,000, because you could save a lot of interest there over time. Now, I will say that if you have federal loans, you need to be careful about refinancing them with private loans. Paulette's situation, she already has private loans, and so she's not going to make a change here. But if you are starting with federal loans, you're going to want to be careful, and I would actually advise against refinancing them with private loans, simply because the federal loans have certain advantages, particularly related to the income-based repayment options. So if you got into a difficult spot and you were unable to pay the full payment, the income-based repayment options based on that are offered through the federal student program would allow you to drop that payment down to weather that storm until your income is higher. And as soon as you go from federal to private, you lose that ability to do that. So just be on your guard there. Paulette, thanks for writing to us. Again, if you have a question, send it along, askrob@faithfi.com. All right, let's head back to the phones to Louisiana. Hi, Isaiah. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. So I had a question regarding my I have some credit card debt that I accumulated, and it's around $7,000 or $8,000. And basically, I will be moving and leaving my current job where I have a 401k about the same amount as my credit card debt. And I know that, you know, if you take out that 401k early, it will have some stipulations. And obviously I will be, you know, taxed on that and everything like that. And I was wondering, would it be a right move to basically use that 401k whenever I do get it to pay off that credit card debt, or if you have like any things on that?
Yeah, I have a better option for you, Isaiah. I love the fact that you have that 401k money. I do agree with you. Let's try to get rid of that credit card debt as soon as you can. But the 401k is really not the place to go to pay that off. And for three reasons. Number one, it's expensive money. It's all going to be taxable to you on top of the fact that you're going to have a 10% penalty when you take it out. So let's say at a starting point, at a minimum, that's probably 32% right off the top that's going to be paid to the IRS when you pull that out. Second reason is that money's no longer available to compound and grow for your future. And when we look long term, you know, that is going to be a real benefit to you, and you want to continue to fund that over time. The third reason is, and this is a big one, is I really want you to fix what got you into that credit card debt in the first place. And my experience and the studies say that if you come in and just wipe it out with kind of a quick fix, and that's what I would see pulling the money from the 401k to pay it off being, it just doesn't involve you changing your habits, dialing in your lifestyle spending, which is probably what got you into the credit card debt in the first place, spending beyond your means. And so I'd rather you take a more systematic approach to budgeting that allows you to pay this off quicker, but rights the ship, if you will, with regard to just your disciplines and your habits of money management. And so what I recommend is what's called debt management. Our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org can help with this. They're going to get that interest rate down. They'll probably, in some cases, even cut those interest rates in half or more. You're going to make one level monthly payment to them. And with the combination of the level monthly payment every month and the lower interest rates, you're going to pay it off 80% faster. But they're going to help you work on your budget and get your spending in line, which I think is going to lead to a long-term fix and change for you. So just go to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Stay with us.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
Maybe you know the routine all too well. You say the wrong thing, your spouse reacts, and the conflict cycle spins out of control. Next time on Focus on the Family, Pastor Rob and Gina Flood offer a better model for communication, leading to peace and harmony in your marriage. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be headed back to the phones shortly. We do have lines open, perhaps room for one more question today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before we do, it's Monday, which means Bob Dahl is here. Bob stops by in our final segment of the broadcast each Monday with his market commentary and analysis. And Bob, no shortage of considerations here in as we look at the markets today. What are you thinking about as the week starts?
Yes, a lot of cross currents, Rob. Let's take the employment report from last Friday. The good news is that wage growth was a little less than expected. That's good for the inflation picture, maybe not so much for consumers. But the not-so-good news is the number of jobs that were added, still respectable, but nowhere near where we've been. So there's a perfect cross-current. On the one hand, you've got this. On the other hand, you've got that. I think the cross-currents and therefore the sidewise choppiness in the market's likely to continue.
It's so fascinating to me, Bob, and we've talked about this before, that, you know, we get the jobs and labor data that we did last Friday, which was not great, and we saw the unemployment rate rising, and the market just takes off. And I know it's all about this idea that the Fed rate cuts are likely coming, but it just seems backwards.
It does. You'd think everybody would cheer if more people are working, but you're absolutely right. It's more complicated than that. Yes, the markets love when people are working because that means more growth, more GDP, more revenues, more earnings. But the valuation side that worries about inflation goes the other way. So that's why this business is not so simple.
No, that's exactly right. All right, Bob, I know we're halfway, or at least we're past the halfway mark with earnings reports. And this is, of course, an indicator looking backwards. But what does it tell us about the health of America's corporations?
Yeah, again, the cross currents. Revenue growth, top line sales growth, not so great. But on the other hand, earnings surprises, the best in 10 quarters. Mm-hmm. So take your pick, and you can find good news and bad news. At the end of the day, the earnings are more important than the revenues, but you can only make your profit margins go up so much to sustain that revenue growth. Eventually, you need stronger top line, more business coming in the front door, as it were.
Yeah. All right. And then, Bob, I don't think we've talked just about the latest round of comments from the Fed, and particularly Fed Chairman Powell. What is his latest? What do his latest remarks tell us about what they might be thinking moving forward?
The honest truth is, after all the back and forth, the answer is not a lot. The Fed chair and the Fed, they're data dependent. That's their famous phrase, and they have to be. They don't know what the future is going to bring. Only God does. And as a result, they have to wait for more data to figure out what's going on. They basically took another hike in rates off the table, which they did months ago, but they did it again. And the question is, when will they begin to lower rates? That keeps getting pushed back in time, and the risk of a recession on the horizon still exists. And maybe it's gone up some, Rob.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's look beyond our borders, Bob. You had some really interesting comments related to the concentration in the various markets. You know, we talk a lot about how we're so concentrated here in the U.S. in terms of the top names, but you made some interesting comments about what we see beyond the U.S. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so yes, the number of the concentration in the U.S. stock market, for example, the top 10 names represent 34% of the stock market capitalization. That's the highest we've seen on record here in the U.S. But as you point out in your question, that's less than lots of other places. France, for example, 60%. Germany, 61%. The U.K., 48%. So the concentration that we, quote, complain about here in the U.S. is even more significant overseas.
Interesting. All right, Bob, final thoughts as we head into a new trading week. What are you watching?
Other than buy low, sell high, I think we need to continue to watch all these cross currents. We have more important earnings coming out this week. We're about 80% of the way through, so watch those carefully. And as, if not more importantly, the guidance that comes from the corporate conference calls. How's business today? How's business looking forward? Can I keep my prices? Can I raise my prices, et cetera? So lots more news to come, not to mention all the geopolitical issues of, is there going to be a truce in the Middle East? Looks like not today, and unfortunately, but all kinds of cross currents that keep us on our toes.
Well, thanks for keeping us up to date, Bob. We always appreciate our time with you. Bless you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer and Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global, where investments and values intersect. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly investment commentary at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, let's head back to the phones. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Texas we go. Hi, James. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
Great. I'm a 60-year-old man, retired from the military, still working for them as a contractor. I'm going to collect Social Security between 66 and 67 when I max out because I am working. So I'm not going to collect at 62. My question basically is, I got in trouble, just like a previous caller, with credit cards. I'm paying that off now, and a HELOC loan. When I deduct from my 401k, my IRA is no problem because it's a Roth, so there's no taxes there. But my 401k is a mandated tax. Taxes taken out, withdrawn, 20% for federal, 5% for state. Is any way as an older man to reduce tax burdens in the retirement years, given I have no property and no children under 18 that could help me? Or is anything I'm not seeing in this conversation that you might be able to see as far as reducing the tax burden that I'm about to encounter?
Yeah, it's a great question. I assume you're taking the standard deduction. Do you know?
Yes, I am. I'm taking a standard deduction. I have a small business, so I have a Schedule C. So I even have more deductions on top of that. I have a house, a family home with my brother that I'm about to embark upon and probably sell. So that'll be more income.
Okay.
It's just the capital gains, the burdens of taxes.
Yeah, no, I get it. Well, I think with the small business, that obviously gives you a lot of opportunities there. I mean, everything from a home office to auto expenses to business insurance and legal fees, things, meals, as long as you meet the requirements there, depreciation. I mean, so just make sure you're fully vetting all of the opportunities for a small business to take those tax deductions that are available to you. There's going to be far fewer personally when we look at that side of the ledger, just because you are taking the standard deduction and 90% of taxpayers do. And so that takes a lot of things off the table, like mortgage interest and charitable contributions, things like that, because you're taking the standard deduction instead. What about retirement accounts? Are you contributing to, let's say, an IRA, or do you have some other type of retirement account in your small business?
Yes, sir. So that's a good question. I stopped contributing a couple of years ago, but I wanted to contribute again, but I just didn't have the money. I do have an IRA, a Roth IRA with my business, and I'm wondering, should I pick that up again in order to reduce my tax burden?
Yeah, now the Roth is not going to reduce your tax burden, but the traditional will. And so, you have the ability to put in, up to $8,000 this year because you're over the age of 50, so long as you have at least that much in earned income, and you will. And that is $8,000 that's going to come off of your taxable income. And so during these years, while you're continuing to work, getting that down by contributing to an IRA, that's an above-the-line deduction. And so that's going to happen before you take that standard deduction, which is a great opportunity for you. So that's probably going to be the most obvious opportunity that you have. You have to, of course, have the cash flow to do it. And then eventually you'll have a required minimum distribution, but that keeps getting pushed further and further out. It's now at 73 years old. It's eventually going to be at 75 years old. And there are ways to get it out of there without paying any tax through notably a qualified charitable distribution when you get to that point. But the nice thing is you could continue to sock money away as you're continuing to work in a tax-deferred retirement vehicle and lower your overall taxable income, which is just going to help you save on taxes right now. So that's probably, other than just taking another hard look at the business to make sure you're not missing any business deductions, that's probably the most obvious with regard to your personal taxes, if that makes sense.
It does make a lot of sense. Is there an age limit where we no longer can contribute to a qualified account? Or
there's
like
not.
73 or?
No, okay, you can contribute as long as you want, so long as you have earned income. And that's not Social Security. That's not earned income or a pension. Right. But if you've got that earned income, you can continue to contribute. There is no cap on that.
Beautiful. I appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Delighted to take your call today, sir, and may the Lord bless you. Anthony in Texas, you had a great call there about your sister's son who's mentally challenged, and putting money into a trust for him. I've got some thoughts on that that I'd love to tackle with you, whether it's a special needs trust or what's called an ABLE account, A-B-L-E. But unfortunately, I'm out of time. So let's see if Dr. Youngblood, our call screener today, can get you scheduled for tomorrow's broadcast. And Bethia in Virginia, the same applies there. We'd love to have you on a future broadcast, perhaps as soon as tomorrow morning. So you all stay on the line. Let's see if we can get you scheduled for the upcoming broadcast of Faith and Finance. Thanks for calling today. Folks, that's going to do it for us today. So thankful to have you along with us today. And again, as we head toward the end of our fiscal year, June the 30th, this is a really important time for us to hear from you with your financial support for Faith and Finance. A gift of $25 or more allows us to send you our new study, Rich Toward God, as our gift to you. If you'd like to support our work, just head to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give. A big thanks to my team today, Devin Patrick, Jim Henry, and Dr. Robert Youngblood. We'll see you tomorrow. May the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.